I know all of you guys clapped because they sang, right? But I think we got to get them to stand up right back again and clap because they went and served the Lord. Don't you think so? Let's get them to stand right back up. Let's stand up, kids. Come on, kids, stand up. Stand up. You are heroes. You guys went out and you did an army force, and God bless you. Praise God. Isn't it wonderful to have kids like that and to be able to see our young people catch a vision and love, you know, the church to allow them to go out there and experience those things. You know, I just am so excited. I'm excited for your church, and I'm excited that I'm part of your mission task force. And I trust that God would continue to use your church as you become increasingly sensitive to what God is doing around the world in bringing people to himself. And as he gives you the opportunity, that you would look at every possible avenue and look at the opportunities out there and engage your church in a task of bringing people into reconciliation to God. Because that's what he's called us to do. He's called us to be a people that'll stand in the gap and serve as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And I'm excited to be in this part at this time in the history of world evangelism and to just see what God's church is doing around the world. This evening, what I want to do with you is to really share with you about the ministries of Hindustan Bible Institute and how God has been working through the mission, and to share with you where we're headed for as we look at what God is planning for this ministry over the next few years. I believe that in our generation, India can be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell our people, if we get serious about it, if we get strategic about it, and we begin to think and engage the church at large in our country, our country is, even though it's the second largest country and will be the largest country by 2007, we can still reach this country with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because God said, all authority, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go out and preach the gospel and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet, every generation has had the opportunity. It's Ralph Winter who made the statement that in the early first century, when the church was being birthed into being, there was approximately 250 million people. And at the end of that century, he assessed that the number of Christians that existed in proportion to the number of non-Christians that existed, and he said if all the Christians were engaged in the task of world evangelism, each individual would have to reach out to 365 people, and then that world and that generation in that time would have been reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today we live in a world with about 6 billion people, and I wonder what that proportions are. And some of you may have read about this article or heard about this statement, but I want to reemphasize it, because what it is telling us is what some of us think, that 365, boy, that's not so big a number. But we live in a world with 6 billion people. What would that number be like today? And I want to tell you, it's not 365, it's not 200, it's not even 100. Can you believe it? It's not even 50. You know what that number is? If every Christian, evangelical Christian, would go out and to reach out to a world that we're living in, and reach out to 7 people, our world will be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That all it takes in our generation is the church to get engaged, to become involved in this task of world evangelism, and begin to recognize that we can finish it in our time, trusting in God, because he said all power and all authority has been given unto him. And I want to tell you that we may be in a world conflict, and our world conflict is not a conflict with flesh and blood, but with principalities and the powers of the darkness of this world. And as we engage in this task, we're engaging in an awesome task. And it's a task of recovering and causing, bringing people into reconciliation to God that have been lost into the powers of darkness. And I believe that as we realize that's what we're doing, we're bringing people who are in darkness into the marvelous light, that we begin to recognize that we cannot do it by ourselves. Just like that girl said, I can't live my life by myself. Neither can we do the work of God's great commission by ourselves. But he said, all power and all authority has been given unto him. And he said, go and preach the gospel. And I believe that the church, in the strategy that we have today, as masses of people are engaging in 2 weeks and a weekend and a week and 3 months and 1 month in short-term missions, we're going to have a task force out there all around the globe reaching out to the world of darkness. And I believe it's important for us to understand the significance of that statement, because if you were to ask yourself, where are the unreached peoples of this world? And you were to look at them and you were to recognize that they're stuck in that 1040 window. And you were to look at the 1040 window and you were to see that 1040 window and you were to recognize that more than 97% of the largest unreached peoples live in that window. And if we were to reach them, we couldn't reach them by going out there as long-term traditional missionaries. If we were going to reach them, we'd have to go out on short terms, engaging our people in this task of world evangelism. But in addition to that, we can be involved in the task of evangelizing these people by looking at those people that God has placed already in those countries. We can look at the people that are there in those nations and realize that they, together with us, create an increasing and a powerful synergy so that those communities together, put into an effective way, in a strategic location, in a strategic program, our world in our generation can be reached with the gospel. And I want to challenge you to pray with us. Pray that God will give India in our generation. Pray that God will give India a church in every village and colony of every town and city of our nation in our generation. Because I believe it's possible. The only thing is, too often we think that it's impossible, it's beyond our imagination, we can't do it in our lifetime, and we just let it go. But I believe if we were serious about it and we were committed to this task and recognized that this is what God has called us to and given us this great opportunity, you know what? I believe he'll surprise us, and we could see this world reach in our generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some years ago, as I shared earlier this morning, because a man gave his life to come to India, my father heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And into the midst of that process of my dad coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he was totally convinced that salvation was from the Lord. That it was the power of God to change an individual, reconcile him into the presence of God, and give him a hope that is everlasting. And Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto the salvation of mankind. And my dad, convinced exactly like that, determined in his heart that every Indian should have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when he heard the gospel, he was liberated. He came from darkness into the marvelous light. And my father would say to us children, he would say, son, I want you to understand that when Jesus came into my heart, he came in, and 2 Corinthians 5:17 was a powerful, dynamic reality in my life. He would say, oh, when Paul says, you know, everything became new, he said his life was totally new. Everything really became new. He said, I had a new purpose to live. I had a new hope. I had everything that I didn't have before that. And there was a peace that passeth all understanding, that there was a joy that was unspeakable and full of glory, son. And I couldn't stop telling people about Jesus Christ. And that was my dad. And he was convinced about this. And in the early 40s, India began to negotiate its independence. And my dad began to think about a possibility. He said, what would happen if India became independent and the doors got closed to world missions and the church was asked not to exist? You know, the Muslims looked at it from a different perspective. They said, we've been under the colonial rule for 200 years and we don't want to be under the colonialism of Hinduism. But you know what the Christians said? Lord, keep the doors open for missions. let the gospel be preached in this nation. And one day when my dad was reading and he was studying for his devotions, the Lord brought him to a verse in the book of Philippians. And in that verse, he makes the statement. He says, Paul says, my imprisonment was for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my dad looks at the text and he says, Paul, what's the matter with you? You're locked up. You're shackled down. You're in prison. You can't go out and preach. How could it be for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And he looks at that text again and he says, what do you mean by that, Paul? And Paul begins to show him, now that I'm imprisoned, he said, those who were not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ then began to preach Christ. Some in the sake case of some contention, but others in the case of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in all cases, he said, Christ was being magnified. And my dad said, Lord, what are you saying to me? That even though the missionaries can't stay in our country, that the church will grow in our land? And I think the Lord kind of said to him, I think you're getting the point. And my dad looked at it and he said, all right, Lord, what else are you saying to me from that text? And it says, those who were not preaching would then begin to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he began to search and he would say, Lord, who's not preaching the gospel? And I tell you, he came to a conclusion that the people that were not preaching the gospel were the people of the country. The missionaries gave their lives. The missionaries sacrificed. The missionaries came and established the foundations. The missionaries came and translated the Bible. The missionaries came and worked among the poor. The missionaries came and established the schools. The missionaries came and they did all kinds of things in our land. And as a result of that, our land became a blessed land. But the people that were not doing it were the people from our country. And so my dad began to pray. And he would pray, Lord, please help our people to catch a vision for the lost. And that time we had 450 million people in our land. And he would say, Lord, please help them to catch a vision for the lost. Help them to understand it. And you know, I tell people, if you ever want to stay away from serving the Lord, don't ever pray about it. Because the day you start praying about it, he's going to start working in your heart. And you're going to have to finally say, yes, Lord, here I am. And you're going to yield yourself to him. And my dad started to pray for this tremendous need in our country. And God looked at my dad one day and he said, are you serious about this? Do you really want me? And my dad said, yes, Lord, I want India to be reached. I want every Indian to have an opportunity to hear. And you know what the Lord put in his heart? He said, well, go out and train men and women like yourself and reach India with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what my dad's interpretation of that was? Go and start a Bible college and develop young men and women who would go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he looked at the Lord and he said, Lord, you must be crazy. You know what? I haven't passed my high school. I haven't done anything like that. I'm just a good old evangelist that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no way that I could start a Bible college and train young men and women in India without any kind of education. I need a DD or a PhD or whatever it is. I can't get it, and I'm not going to be able to do it. Are you sure you're talking to the right guy? And about that time, he looks up to the Lord, and the Lord says, yes, I am. Because you know what? It's not the PhDs and the DDs that makes the difference. He looked at him and he said to my dad, you know what makes the difference? It's your obedience to follow what I've called you to do. And out of that came the call of my father to start the ministries of Hindustan Bible Institute. It was a wonderful commitment. It is an awesome commitment. It's a commitment in which God manifested himself to my father over and over and over and over again, that my father would say to us as children, he would say, you know what? I love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because I'm a special kid of the Lord. You know why he was a special kid? He felt like as he was walking down the road, the Lord was walking by his side. And when he ran into a problem, he just turned over to the Lord and said, Lord, what are we going to do about this? And he would talk to him. And God would talk with my father. And they had such a close relationship, it's beyond your imagination. But he was so special. And God took him, and without a high school education, he came to America, went to Biola College, got his bachelor's degree, and when they got ready to graduate the guy, they said, he doesn't have a high school certificate, and he had to go get his GED before they would graduate him. Isn't that amazing? But the day that you come and you become obedient to the Lord, the impossible stuff will begin to happen, and you will begin to realize that you are walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's what my dad's experience was. And I want you to get that book and read it, because that book tells you one story after the other of how God provided for this guy who got kicked out of a Hindu family, thrown away, didn't have a home to live in, and watched God do one miracle after the other, and then take him and develop him into becoming one of the earliest nationals that would start a training center by nationals to be able to train nationals to reach out to the people of our country. And you know, he started this ministries in the early part of when India became an indigenous country, independent on its own, and he started a process of training men and women so that they would go out. And today, almost 4,800 men and women have graduated out of that college. And they have gone into different parts, and some of them didn't graduate with a bachelor's degree, but with a diploma and a certificate. But they've gone out, and they're in every state of India. In every state of India, you would see a graduate from Hindustan Bible Institute. They're in the major mission societies, the denominational movements, serving the Lord and causing the church to become God's effective instrument to be able to reach out to the people of our country. They're not only in India, but they're in different parts of of the world, around India, like Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, Sri Lanka, into Europe, in Germany. We have people that went to Australia. We have men and women that are in the United States, some of them pastoring churches over here and serving the Lord in order that the gospel may be known. We're at a time where we're celebrating. In just a few years, we'll be celebrating our 50th year. And last year, as we celebrated this wonderful year of what God had done through the ministries of Hindustan Bible Institute, it was really encouraging to see what God had done. It was beyond our imagination, some of the things that the Lord enabled the ministries of HBI to be able to actually accomplish. We saw 4,818 men and women graduate from our ministries. And it was exciting to see these people come, get educated, go back into a world, and to be able to serve the Lord. Through the efforts of our various evangelistic programs over the years, and these were years, only in the last 10 years we were able to maintain our data, and in that data we understood that God helped HBI to minister to, in the last 10 years, to 123,311 people that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting? Don't sit down. Just give them a clap, will you? You know, it's the Lord's doing. He is doing marvelous things, and it's just wonderful to see what God is doing in our world. And I'm excited about it, that God is changing us. God is changing the church. God is causing the church to get more focused upon the call. He's helping us to understand how dumb we were and how smart we were and how much we need to depend upon Him. And it's wonderful just to watch that happen. And I'm so excited. In the last 12 years, you know, many, many years, we went through the ministries of HBI. And the word, my dad's passion and burden was that everybody should have an opportunity to hear. And so he trained men. He equipped people. He sent them out into the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And about 25, 30 years into that process, the Lord shook us up. And he said, Bobby, where are all the converts? Where did they go to? And I looked at my dad, I looked at the Lord, and I said, I don't know where they're going to, but I'll check with the chairman of our board. And so I really asked the chairman of our board, I said, where are our converts? Where did they go to? And he said, I don't know. And I said, maybe we're doing something wrong. Maybe we ought to look at the Great Commission passage a little bit longer. And we looked at it, and it said, not just to go and preach, but it said to make disciples. And so I said, how many disciples have we made? Where are these disciples? And you know, the Lord began to work us over, and he said, Industrian Bible Institute should not just be an institution that is there for existence for the purpose that people would hear, but that they would understand, and when they respond, they would be formed into communities of believers, and when they're formed into communities of believers, that they would become be disciples, so they would become God's lighthouse among the unreached peoples of our nation. And, you know, the board got excited, and they said, for the first time, we can actually measure the efforts of our work by seeing how India is being reached with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because now we're not just talking about training men and women, now we're talking about reaching the nation by reaching the unreached and discipling and forming them into communities of believers. And so in 1987, we set out our mission to not only teach and evangelize, to be involved in evangelism, but in making disciples and multiplying churches throughout our nation. And as I shared in the second service, God put a burden and a vision in our heart to plant 1,000 churches. And when we did that and we began to share that with people, they thought we were crazy. Some people thought I belonged in the mental hospital. But you know what? The Lord put that in our heart. And we began to share that. And even as stupid as it sounded, we said, Lord, we'll trust you and become a fool for you and share that with our people. And before long, God said to me, Bobby, what would 1,000 churches do to reaching India with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And you know what? I said to him, Lord, please don't ask me to do what you're asking me to do. Because you know what? They already think I belong in the mental hospital. I think they'll put me there if I were to tell them more than 1,000 churches. And you know, India has 600,000 villages. And if we needed a church in every village, we would need at least 600,000 churches. And I said, Lord, we're not going that route. You can do whatever you want. I am committed to planting 1,000 churches. And, you know, he didn't let me sleep for a few nights. He just wrestled with me till I said, okay, Lord, we'll negotiate this. And we negotiated 100,000 churches. And I said, we have 1,000 alumni out there. I'll ask each one of them to consider planting 100 churches, and you've got 1,000 churches. Now be quiet. Don't talk to me anymore. And you know what? I started to share this vision, and I started to share it with our people, and I started to share it in America and get people excited and pray for us. And one guy got up to me one day, and he said to me, Bobby, what would 100,000 churches do? And I said to him, Jim, I heard that question before. Please don't ask me anymore. And then, you know, the conclusion of that discussion was, if you want to come make a fool of yourself to our people, you come and I'll arrange the meeting. And so he said, I'll make a fool if he can reach India. And so he came to India and he shared with us and he asked us this question. And I challenge you to ask this question anywhere and anytime you're doing the task of world evangelism. And here's the question. What will India look like if the task was completed? What would Germany look like if the task was completed? What would Oklahoma look like if the task was completed? And they asked that question, and we ask this question every time we go into a district of India, into a city of India, into a state of India, and we help our people in India that are engaged in this task to see what the end is in mind so that they can move towards that task. And the answer to that question was, what would India look like if the task was completed? The answer was there would be a church in every village and colony of every town and city of our nation. And then India would have the presence of Jesus Christ. So everyone would have an opportunity to hear, understand, respond, and be discipled so that every 1,000 people would have a church in the midst of them. And at the end of that, God began to cause Hindustan Bible Institute to begin the process of not only trying to plant 1,000 churches, but to mobilize the nation of India, the church in India, with a vision to see a church in every village and colony of every town and city of our nation. What's happened in the last 10 years? Well, let me tell you what's happened since 1987. That puts us into 12 years. You know what has happened? God has given us 1,311 churches in the ministries of Hindustan Bible Institute. There are 350 men who are actively involved in a process, engaged in the past of redeeming and reconciling people into this into the kingdom of God. And over 50,000 people are worshiping in these churches today. On the big picture side, you know what's happened? We moved from 22,000 people that were part of the task force of India to over 114,000 people that are today engaged in reaching a nation like our land. And the church force not only more than doubled, but the church presence totally doubled. We were less than 100,000 churches, and today India has over 200,000 churches in our nation. Where are we headed for from here and on in fulfilling the Great Commission? As mission at Hindustan Bible Institute, we're committed by the end of 2000, December 31st, we are trusting the Lord and we're saying, Lord, we want to see 1,500 churches. We want that 1,300 to move to 1,500. We'd like to see 100,000 people worshiping in these churches. And we'd like to see our mission force move to 500 people. But then that wouldn't reach India with the gospel, and that wouldn't end this generation. As we look at the year this generation, or we're looking at the year 2015, we're saying, Lord, help us see India reached by the year 2015, so that in our lifetime, we would finish the task, so that there would be a church in every village and colony of every town and city. And so HBI has been involved with a commitment to see our task force grow to 2,000 missionaries, so that we would move from 500 pastors to 2,000 pastors by the year 2015. If each of them planted 5 churches, we're asking the Lord to move our church presence to 10,000 churches throughout our country among unreached peoples of our nation. And we're asking the Lord, if we had 100 people in each of those churches, that there would be 1 million people reached by that time. Is that too big? It's too small for India. Because India would have over 1 billion people by that time. And unless we trust the Lord and ask the Lord to work in us and through us in a very powerful way, beyond our imagination, we will fall short of reaching this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. On the big picture side, we're saying to our people in India, and I'll say this to you so that you will pray with us. You know, between 1987 and 1999, the task force grew from 22,000 to 100,000 plus. And we're asking the Lord that by the end of December 2000, 31st December 2000, that we would be able to challenge these 100,000 people to just train one other person for the task of evangelizing our nation. To pick up an evangelist, to pick up a pastor, to do something and invest in the life of just one person, so that we would move this task force from 100,000 to 200,000. And how many churches do we need? We need 1 million churches, and we need 1 million pastors pastoring these churches. And between 2000 and 2015, we're asking the church, as it's proportionately growing, that it will proportionately grow with that proportion of one church for every 1,000 people. But to keep in mind the vision of each of these 200,000 people to train 5 people and plant 5 churches in our lifetime. And India would have 1 million churches scattered around this nation. Isn't that awesome? Is it possible? You're keeping quiet. Is it possible? It's possible. The question is, are we ready to trust the Lord and really believe what He says when He says, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. When He told His disciples and He walked through Caesarea Philippi and He said to them, I will build my church. Peter made that great confession and he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turns around and he looks at him and he says, upon this confession, I will build my church. And he's in the business of building churches. He's in the business of bringing people and forming into communities of believers so that those communities will greatly multiply. You know, in 1987 in the city of Madras, there wasn't a church that had over 1,000 people that worshipped on Sunday. Today there are churches that have 13,000 people and 15,000 people that are worshiping in those churches. Isn't that amazing? And there's this one church that has 1,000 cell groups throughout its church worshiping all over the city of Madras. Isn't that wonderful? God is in the business of multiplying His church. And we are in the business of serving Him to fulfill that task. And I believe as we trust the Lord, as we depend upon the Lord, and we listen to the Lord, and we begin to get focused on the task that He has called us to do, that our world can be reached in our generation, and we can see this world reached for Christ. And I want to challenge you, as you look at the world that is around you, you look at your missionaries every time on the screen, and you realize that they are on the task force, that you recognize that you're part of a world effort to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every time you stretch out and you say, Lord, I want to get on my knees and pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. Pray that God will help us to possess the land. Pray that God will help the missionaries to be able to cross over into communities that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. For I believe that what we need to do is to understand what this task is and begin to cross over and possess that land, for the Lord will give it to us and He has promised it. And that's what He pictured in the Old Testament when He sent Israel to go into the world. And He sent them so that they would possess the land and take every inch of it, so that the world will see Jesus Christ. The world will see Yahweh. And when they see Him, they'll glorify the Father who is in heaven. And now He's called us. He's made us all one people. And you know what He's done? In the book of Ephesians, I love that book. It describes the church so beautifully. If you ever want to understand the church, read the book of Ephesians. But in that second chapter, you know, He uses four types of words. He uses four words that describes the nature of the church of Jesus Christ. And know what those four words are? He first of all says, I want you to understand that you have become of the kingdom of God. In other words, He's saying, you are kingdom people. You are people who have a new values, and your values are the values of our God and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I have brought you into this kingdom, and you are part of this citizenship, and you are kingdom people. He uses a second verse, and He says, you're a community or a family. He uses that word. And He says, and He helps us understand that we're brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We're part of a big family. And then He says, the third word He uses, you're a building. You're a building. You know what? You're placed upon the prophets and the apostolic teaching with Christ at the center, the cornerstone. And you're built upon that, He says. And you're interdependent on each other because you're built in such a way that you're connected with each other and you cannot function without each other. And then finally He says, you are a temple of God, a dwelling place where God just comes in and He resides inside of you. And you know what? You hide Him right under there, right? Now, you let the glory of God just shine forth out of your life. And so you become a light in the midst of darkness. Wow! That's what the church is all about. It's not about power and authority. It's about fulfilling the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ and living as lights in the midst of darkness, declaring the praises of our Lord and sharing the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ that so transformed us. And I want to challenge us as we look at this last year, look at our generation, you look at our lifetime, you look at this emerging generation that's coming up, and you look at it and you say, Lord, in my lifetime, how can I make a difference? And what can I do that will cause us to finish this task while we're still living upon the face of this earth? Because it's possible. And all it takes is each one of us serving the Lord to reach out to seven people, changing the paradigm so that we can go into places where we cannot even penetrate as traditional missionaries, and empowering the people in those locations. And our generation of young people, as we are putting into their hearts the passion and the burden to reach out to a world, I believe we can reach out to them. The question is, do we understand our purpose? And God says, it is to go out there and bring them into reconciliation to Him. So everybody would have an opportunity to hear, to understand, to respond. And when they respond, to be discipled into communities of people. And when they disciple, to send them out and allow them to become God's lighthouse to reaching the world. Amen? Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, our loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank You, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to gather together and to worship You. We praise You, Father, for the salvation that You've given unto us. We know, Lord, we can do nothing without You. Our young people have reminded us, as frail as they are and as dependent they are upon You, Father, they told us so clearly in the words and in their actions, oh Father, that we are a dependent community. And we affirm that with them, oh Lord. And we ask You, Lord, to continuously help us to look at those people that need You. And never forget, oh Father, that You have called us and You have empowered us and You have released us so that we could become Your greatest instrument in world evangelism. Father, You've called us to a task of multiplying churches, of being a growing community, O Father, that's affecting the world with a lifestyle that's totally and distinctly different from that of our own. We have been called to be a kingdom community, a family of God, a building based upon Your apostolic teaching and the prophets, where Jesus Christ is the center and the cornerstone. And Father, You dwell within us so that we will radiate the glory of our Heavenly Father, and that we will proclaim and share the witnesses of all the things that You have done in our lives. And Father, we're not all called to be preachers, Lord, but Father, we're all called to reflect and to be ambassadors and to bring people into reconciliation. Help us, Lord Jesus, with the giftedness that You've given us to go out knowing all power and authority is in Your hands to enable us to fulfill the task that You have called us to do so that every nation will have a church in every village and colony of every town and city so that for every 1,000 people there would be a church radiating the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us in our lifetime to see that happen. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm at Your disposal. Fill me today and use me to let the light of Jesus Christ shine through me right here where I live and where I work and where I serve. Dr. Gupta, you've really challenged us. Thank you for your ministry to us today. It's been a real blessing. I hope you'll get the book, and I hope you'll greet Dr. Gupta, and I hope you'll be praying for his mission, his ministry in India. And he'll be here in the States for 6 weeks. Pray for him as he travels, that the Lord will keep him safe and make him a blessing everywhere he goes. God be with you. You're dismissed.